Hello, Shelter Rock Church. Pastor Steve here, and I have to say, I have been enjoying this day so much. I hope you've enjoyed the worship. I had the opportunity to pick these songs. They're some of my favorite. And as I begin, I just want to call out three people that have really made a difference, that are very special to be sharing this platform with today. You may have noticed the man sitting at the piano. His name is Chris Coates. He was my first worship director when I came here back in 2002, and it is a delight to have him on the stage with me. Chris is now the lead pastor of Island Christian Church in East Northport, and I wish him best with that new opportunity. I also am glad to have Donna Brady on the platform with me. Donna was actually here on the very day that I candidated to be a pastor here. And over the last 18 years, she has served so faithfully in so many capacities. So to have her singing today was a beautiful thing, and I'm very grateful. But I have to give a special word of thanks to Pastor Jack Crabtree. We just heard him speak, and Pastor Jack, thank you for everything you said. But you mean the world to me. And when you said it's been over almost 50 years, wow, that's a long time that we've known each other. But one thing you did not point out, it was when I was 16 at a Youth for Christ retreat that I felt the calling to become a pastor. You have been such an impactful person in my life. And I thank you and Becky for your ministry and for enabling churches like this to move forward, because ministries like Youth for Christ have made all the difference. So when you come to a point like this, where I am passing the baton fully to Pastor Henry, you think, what will I preach on? What should I share? And I asked the Lord that very question, and he made it very clear. He said, Steve, preach the same passage that you preached when you candidated here back in 2002, the end of September. And I looked at that passage and I realized it's perfect. Now, there's probably just a handful of people who were even there that day, and even less who would remember what I preached on. But it came back to me in a beautiful way, and I understand exactly why the Lord wants me to share these words. And you'll understand in a moment. Before we go any further, though, would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, the last 18 years has been such a privilege on my part to be here at Shelter Rock Church, seeing what you can do when your power is unleashed in a community. Father, thank you for using weak, failed, broken individuals to accomplish your purposes. But now, Lord, what we're asking is that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us everything we need in this moment, at this time, for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that I would like to look at comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13 and 14. So if you want to look it up, you can get the full picture of what is happening. And in this passage, we are going to read about an amazing victory that the Israelite army has over a people called the Philistines. But it really comes down to what God does through one individual. So here's the setting of what happens. Israel lives in the mountains of Israel. And they are a small, you could even call them a vassal state of a coastal people called the Philistines. Now on the day of battle, King Saul is gathered with his army, and they are completely surrounded by the Philistines. How many are in the Israelite army? The text says 600 people. How many Philistines are there? As the sands of the seashore. Their overwhelming presence is scaring King Saul to death. In fact, the text says we find him under a pomegranate tree. And I picture him going back and forth, perseverating over, what is he going to do? What are we going to do? God, are you going to help me? The text says that he's with a priest wearing a linen ephod. That tells us that the priest is doing his priestly duty, probably calling out to God, give us directions, tell us what we need to do. But it was even worse than that. It's not just that they had only 600 troops, but the text says they had no weapons. There are only two people with weapons on the day of battle, King Saul and his son Jonathan. That's it. In fact, Israel at that time didn't even have a blacksmith to make weapons. In fact, they went down to the Philistine land to have their farming implements made or repaired. So in the day of battle, only 600 troops, a king fearing for his life, and the Philistine army surrounding them on all sides, numerous as the sands on the seashore. So what's going to happen? How are they going to handle this? It's at this moment, I want to drop into the text, to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Take a look what Saul's son Jonathan is doing. We read this. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." What an amazing verse. And so many great principles for a leader. And so, Pastor Henry, for the next few minutes, I'm talking to you. So what do we observe in this passage? Jonathan leaves his worrywart dad to go and spec out the Philistine army. He goes and he says these words, "Let's check out the outpost of those uncircumcised men." Now, you may find that phrase is a little unusual to our modern sensitivities, but if you're familiar with the story of Israel, it actually speaks volumes as to why Jonathan has so much confidence. You see, if you go back to Genesis, in particular Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, you find that God calls this small family unit headed by a man named Abraham to be his chosen people. He tells Abraham, "Look everywhere around you. Everything you see will belong to your descendants." But you know what? We're going to seal the deal. By making this a covenant relationship, all the male children from this point on need to be circumcised. That was going to be the symbol that they have a covenant relationship. Now, it's this important point as to why Jonathan is filled with confidence. He thinks to himself, "The land we were on was promised to Abraham and his descendants. God is going to honor his promises. And you know what? This Philistine people that are occupying our land, they're not of the circumcision. They are uncircumcised. The promises of God do not apply to them. Why should we not be bold?" And then we understand another little piece. Jonathan was a young boy when a prophecy was given to his dad. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16, when Prophet Samuel says this to Saul, "Under your reign, the Philistines are going to be defeated." And so Jonathan thinks, "These are uncircumcised men. Under my dad's reign, the Philistines are going to be defeated. So why not act boldly and expect God to do great things?" I love this confidence. You know, the year was 1914, the date September 8th. It was the beginning of World War I, and Ferdinand Foch writes a telegram to General Joffre. This is what he writes. "My right is yielding. My center is weakening. I am unable to maneuver. Situation? Excellent. I am attacking." And it is in that context that this spirit of victory won the day back in World War I. Well, what is going to win the day for Jonathan? So here's what we observe. Jonathan then says to his armor bearer, "Perhaps the Lord will win this on our behalf." Perhaps. It's a great word. This word communicates to me that he is waiting on God's sovereignty. He knows that God has given this land to the descendants of Abraham. He knows that those Philistines, they're uncircumcised. They're not part of the covenant. But he also knows ultimately it's in God's hands. And so what we have is a principle that emerges. If you are aiming for something, Pastor Henry, that is according to God's will, and you are resting in God's sovereignty, there is no reason why you should not move forward and expect great things. But now a formula arises. Here's what Jonathan says to his armor bearer. "Who is to say that you, me, and the Lord can't take on this entire Philistine army?" The way he puts it is, what is to hinder us, you and I, for taking on this army if God is in the picture. And so, this is the principle. God plus anyone can do anything. God plus anyone can do anything. Pastor Henry, before you are going to be many challenges, things that cause anxiety, things that cause worry. The congregation may not always see this in you, but if you sense that this is according to God's will and you are trusting the end results to God's sovereignty, then aim big. Look to see what the possibilities are. You know, my mentor at the church I served at before I came here, Parkview Community Church, a man named Ray Kaulbacher, gave me a piece of advice before I came back to New York. He said, "Steve, it is a good thing to have the wolf at the door." Now, you may think that's a strange phrase, but I saw the beauty and the wonder in it. It's this. If you and I think that we can accomplish the goals of God in our own strength, we're in a bad situation. But if you realize that the wolf is at your door and you need something beyond yourself, you are at the sweet spot to see what God is going to do. And do you know what you need to surround yourself with? People who believe that from a great God, we should expect great things. As I look back at my own 18 years, one of those people was one of my elders. He's one of my heroes. His name, Alan Bushing. And let me tell you why I love Alan. So we had one campus when I became the pastor here. Then the Lord opens us the opportunity to have a second campus in Syosset. And I thought it would be great to bring both campuses together for Easter. And so there is a theater between both campuses, the CW Post College Tillis Center. So I inquire with them about renting their facility for Easter. Now, here is the anxiety I had. The previous Easter, we had 764 people. That was the largest Easter this church ever had. But the Tillis Center had 2,200 seats. 2,200 seats. So I'm thinking, is this going to be a complete embarrassment to actually go there and then we can't fill the room for Easter? But I thought, I need to be bold. I need to be brave. And so I go to the elders and I say, I think we should rent the Tillis Center for our Easter service. And then Alan Bushing says these words. "Tillis Center, huh? I hear the Nassau Coliseum's available." The Nassau Coliseum? Are you kidding me, Alan? The Nassau Coliseum holds 15,000 people. And Alan would do this to me all the time. He would take my faith step, which I thought was bold, but then he would push me to something grander and something greater because he believed that God plus anyone can do anything. Pastor Henry, surround your people, surround yourself with people that believe that from a great God we expect great things. Read books like E.M. Bounds, the great prayer warrior of over 100 years ago. My favorite quote for him is this: "No commonplace tameness should restrain our largest asking." Large, larger, largest asking magnifies grace and adds to God's glory. Feeble asking impoverishes the asker and restrains God from his greatest purpose and obscures his glory. Henry, aim big. Surround yourself with people that dream big. And I believe the end result is that God has great things in store for you and your ministry here and for Shelter Rock Church as a whole. Which now brings me to the point of talking to the congregation. So I'm talking to myself too because I'm hanging around here at Shelter Rock. I'm going to be one of the team. I want you to notice that after Jonathan gives this, how would Jim Collins call it? A BHAG. Big, hairy, audacious goal. After he gives this BHAG, notice what the armor bearer says. We read these words in just the next verse. "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." Wow. You know what happened? The armor bearer, hearing a God-infused, Word of God-founded idea, caused him to say, "Let's go for it. Let's do this thing. Let's see what God has in store." And so what happened? You know what happened? They decided to go up to the Philistine outpost and expose themselves. and see what the Philistines said. And they made a test. If they say, come on up here, we'll know the Lord has delivered them into our hands. So they go, they show themselves, and the Philistines say, come up here and we'll take you on. Well, they go up and they began fighting the Philistines to the point that there was such an uproar. The Philistines start running back to their coastal plain, and Saul and his 600 troops, they have to hurry up and play catch up to chase the Philistines away. God brought a glorious victory. Because there was a God-sized dream, and you know what? Somebody alongside who believed that dream and said, I'm with you, heart and soul. Over the years, I've had numerous people that have showed me that kind of support. But I want to call out with special attention to one. Her name is Joy Levi. Now, Joy was a very special person. I remember meeting Joy right at the beginning of my ministry. It was in the foyer in Manhasset. She met me and said, Pastor Steve, thank you for bringing the Bible to us. This Jamaican woman, known for making Jamaica patties in Brooklyn, she came to me with love and appreciation. And, you know, truly, she wore a lot of rouge. And I remember many times before I preached, I had to wipe it off because she would always greet me with a big hug. But I remember the day that I announced to the church that we were aiming to open our third campus. It was going to be a campus in Hicksville. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor Steve, Shelter Rock Church has a campus in Hicksville? Well, we did for about a year and a half. We actually passed the baton to another church which ran with it and has done phenomenal. But back then, we were opening this campus in Hicksville, and we were asking for volunteers. You know who was one of our first volunteers? Joy Levi. Now in her 70s and with terminal cancer. But there she was every week welcoming people into the church, serving, handing out bulletins. This was the kind of woman who said, I am with you, heart and soul. And you know that she served up until just a few weeks before she went home to be with the Lord. What I'm hoping, what I'm dreaming for us as a church is that we would be a people, we would be a community that bind ourselves together with a God-sized dream. So if Pastor Henry gives us a vision, and if you sense and you smell that that vision is rooted in God's word, is connected to God's sovereignty, and believes in the equation that God plus anyone could do anything, then let's be like that armor bearer. Roll up our sleeves and say, hey, you know what? I'm with you heart and soul. You know, as I wrap up my talk today, I want to give you a quote which has meant the world to me over the years. I first heard this quote in 1994. Now, what was the quote? What was the circumstance? It was at the National Itinerant Evangelist Conference. And my wife and I went, and we're a young couple at the cusp of beginning ministry. And there was a speaker there. He has since become my favorite Christian preacher of all time. His name was E.V. Hill. His message was a simple one, preach Jesus. And as I look out over our congregation and Pastor Henry and the rest of the team and the elders, all of you who are watching, I give you this quote from E.V. Hill as our challenge for moving forward. E.V. Hill said this, we need to go everywhere to preach. In the offices, in the streets, in the fields, in the churches, about the only person who saves, Jesus. He saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The fact of it should make you crazy, radical, want to grab everyone so that they too can be owned by him. Preach him. That is something that we can do for the rest of our lives together. God has blessed us at Shelter Rock Church to have a community by which we can serve together, looking forward to what God is going to do. As I wrap up my talk, I'd like to invite my wife, Michelle, to come on up here right now. Because when I came here in 2002, I did not come alone. I came with Michelle, and I remember when we took on the challenge of, should we do this? We had four young children. And we're thinking, do we want to do this big move? But it seemed right. If we felt like God made straight the path for us. I'm reminded of a quick little story. When we were moving in Illinois from one house to another house, just 4 miles away, our daughters used to pray every night. One was 12, one was 10. They'd say, "Dear Jesus, may our house never ever sell until we die." Because they didn't want to move 4 miles. But then when we told them, "We feel that God may be telling us to go to New York," and our daughter said, "Sounds cool, Dad. Sounds like God has this all in his plan." And so, Michelle, it's been a fun 18 years. And the fun thing is we don't have to go anywhere. We can stay right here. But I just want to say publicly to you, I couldn't have done anything that I have accomplished here without having a strong woman beside me who encouraged me and strengthened me and worked so diligently behind the scenes. So as I pray, holding Michelle's hand, will you pray with me as I just say thanks to the Lord for this privilege of serving at Shelter Rock Church. Father, you have been so good. Father, in our own journey, finding each other at a Youth for Christ retreat that Pastor Jack officiated way back in 1979, when you gave me the opportunity to meet a woman that would later become my wife. Moving forward, Lord, to the first preaching opportunities I had at Parkview Community Church in Illinois, so grateful for those days and those beautiful people. And then, Lord, as you opened the door in 2002 to come here, and then to get to watch what you can do to a people that are yielded to you. Father, it's been pure joy working in your church for such a magnificent Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life, in our life as a family, in our kids, and what you continue to be doing in our church. We pray, Father, that you will make straight the path for Pastor Henry, and that in the end, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, will receive all the honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.